Successful people learn how to make their mind work for them. I'm David Nagel, and this is the Successful Mind Podcast. You know, I recently did an interview with Gary Vaynerchuk, and it was a fantastic interview. If you have the opportunity to check it out, if you haven't heard that, do it, because it's a great reference to this episode. And in the interview, Gary was talking about his idea that we really need to redefine success based on the idea of happiness. Which I very much agree with, but I think that there's a little bit more than that, because I think the challenge for most people is they look at their life, they look at situations that they believe are out of their control, and they don't know how to be happy in those situations with the way that they're experiencing life. And I mean, let's face it, there's a lot of hardship out there, there's a lot of tragedy out there. Even if you have, you know, a really good life, you're going to have problems that you come up against in life that are painful. We all go through that, and some people have it more than others. But I think, you know, everything is relative to a person who's experiencing it. We can't really know what somebody else is going through, but we do know what we're going through and how we feel as we're going through it. But I think that if we really kind of understand how to be happy, like, I don't know that it's ever really taught to us how to be happy. So I want to give some ideas that I think will help everybody. This is how I really learned to be happy in my life, regardless of what's going on. People ask me all the time, you know, just like in a generality, how are you doing? And I'm always like, I am fan-fucking-tastic. And then we got feedback from somebody one day, and they're like, I don't believe him. I don't think that he really is. And it made me wonder why a person would think that. And I really got down to the idea that they were probably just projecting their own experience of life onto me. And here's the thing, T, when I say that I am fan-fucking-tastic, I am comparing that to the parts of my life back in the early days when I was a teenager, when I was a young man, when my circumstances were not fantastic. And when I knew what it was like to be stuck. I knew what it was like to be broke. I knew what it was like to really be struggling and not seem to be able to find a way out of that. So when I say it now, it's not like I don't have problems. It's not like there's not challenges in my life. But I have learned that there are some key components to being happy that when you practice them, you can be happy in any situation. And here's the reason why. Because I think that one of the reasons that people aren't happy, whether they're angry or they're resentful or they're vindictive or they're sad or they're depressed, has a lot to do with how they view themselves in their own world and with the circumstances that are going on around them. So number one, the first key to happiness is responsibility. It is responsibility, and I'm going to be driving this home a lot from now on. The responsibility is something that literally changes everything. When I learned how to take responsibility for my own life, and I took responsibility for the way that I think, the way that I feel, my behavior, how I show up in the world, the results that I get, everything that happens in my life, I take responsibility first. It all starts with me. Even if something happens to me that I can't explain, something not good, my part of the responsibility is, okay, this happened. How am I going to show up to this? What am I going to do with this? When you do that and you do it over and over again, you feel empowered, so to speak. And I don't throw that word around lightly. A lot of people just, you know, they toss it around like, you know, get your power back, or you're not empowered, or you're in your power. I don't think anybody's in their power unless they're really willing to sit down and take responsibility. And responsibility is a big thing. It's one of the things that I see people struggle with all the time on a consistent basis. They struggle with responsibility because for the world in general, we victimize just about everybody. And what I mean by that is it's a way of making everybody almost in every situation wrong about something. The news is constantly victimizing people, and they're always finding a perpetrator. It doesn't seem to matter. There seems to be very little difference whether a person does something really wonderful, which is not something that we hear a lot about on the news. It's mostly doom and gloom and what's wrong with things. But occasionally they will talk about something that's really great. And very often we take people that have done really great things, especially if wealth is attached to it, and we tear them down in some way. It's like people want to take real success from a person and attach whatever flaw they have in their life to that success, as the success somehow caused them to have a problem in their life or make a poor decision or do something, you know, that was wrong. So it, you know, the cause and effect of that is completely inaccurate. Success and a lot of money do not cause a person to do bad things any more than a lack of success, failure, or poverty does. It is the individual and how they view themselves in that situation and how they're willing to take responsibility for their life that then internalizes their own judgment as to what it is that they're going to do with the situations that they're in, period. That's exactly what it is. So if we can come from a radical honesty and really admit to ourselves what our strengths and weaknesses are, we can get to the place where we can accept complete responsibility for our life. And when we do that, it does empower us. It gives us a feeling of control over our life. A lot of people are running around with a feeling of desperation in their life, that the world is happening to them and that there's not a lot they can do about it. They're living day to day, just surviving. They're living day to day in a struggle. They try to convince themselves that the meager amount that they're living with is actually making them happy. And I also think that there's a very big difference between going out and getting things, whether that's wealth or property or, you know, materialistic things, in order to try to find happiness, because those things never bring you happiness, versus taking success and doing things with it that are also materialistic and enjoying them from a prosperous viewpoint, enjoying them from whatever the joy and the gratitude is that we can find in things. So responsibility is number one. That is like the very first thing that we need to do. We need to take full responsibility for ourselves. It empowers us. It starts to give us direction. It gives us a sense of control. We now can say, once we've taken responsibility, if I don't like my situation, I have the ability to change it. If I don't like who I've been in my life, I have the ability to change it. If I don't like things that I've done, I have the ability to change it. If I'm involved with people that aren't doing good things, I have the ability to change it. If I have, say, habits that are not leading me to success, not leading me to my best self, I have the ability to change it. If somebody's done something to me, I have the ability to change how I feel or I'm going to respond to that so that another person's actions can't take away my happiness. That's where responsibility starts. And then the next thing is that once we're taking 100% responsibility, if we're going to be in our own power, it's about choosing to use our mind in a way that serves us versus gives us more excuses not to actually make any changes. So gratitude plays a huge role here. I am eternally grateful for everything that has happened in my life. And I have to tell you, there was a time in my life where I was not grateful. I was the most resentful bastard that you'd ever meet. Back in the days when I worked on a dock, I didn't like anybody. I hated what it was that I was doing. I had no vision for my life going forward. I was in a pity party about how do I get out of my situation. I was in deep regret over the decisions that I had made that put me in that situation. And it was the accepting of responsibility and then learning to be grateful for those things that were a large part that allowed me to begin to change it. That's what allowed me to begin to really think about what is the attitude that I need to change here that, you know, has the possibility of changing everything, which, you know, you change your attitude, you change your perception. When you accept responsibility, you change your perception. When you're grateful for everything in your life, the good, the bad, and the ugly, it changes perception. And every opportunity that you need, want, or desire that would change your life for the better is only going to be recognized through a change in your perception. Now, a person will say, what do I have to be happy about? I have all these problems. Yes, you have all those problems. But what's really not making you happy is that you don't believe that you have the power to change it. And you don't believe you have the power to change it because you're so used to viewing all the problems that you have that that's all you see. That's all you conceptualize in your life. If you could see something different for real, and you could see the opportunity to change the situations that you're in, it would be easier for you to be able to step into being happy. That alone it has the power to help somebody to be happy. You know, I've often said to people, happiness is a choice. We could choose to be happy in any situation that we're in. But you don't really get into a deep happiness, like a real joy for life, until you know that you have some kind of power over your life, and that only comes with responsibility, and then that's followed up with gratitude. So it's easy to throw around the idea that everybody should be happy. And I think that Gary's 100% right that happiness should be the measurement of success, because I do believe that we all have a purpose. And when we find out that purpose, it really gives our life direction. But somebody would have had to tell us that to begin with for us to even begin looking at it. And, you know, in an ideal situation, that somebody actually helped guide us to find our purpose. Most people don't get that. So the only way we're going to find it is if we accept responsibility, if we're grateful. Because now we're looking at life with an optimistic eye. Instead of being a pessimist, or just being completely nihilistic about life. I think life is great. I think we're living in the best time ever in history. I think that we're consistently moving forward to become better. And consciousness is more on the table of discussion in the world than it's probably ever been. So there's a lot to be happy about. And it's easy to walk around and complain about life. It takes somebody who really has some gumption that wants to make a change. They don't have to know how the change occurs, but they have to want to make a change in order for them to really step into the responsibility that's required and the gratitude, the releasing, the forgiveness of everything in their past, both things that they've done and other people have done, situations that they found themselves in. You cannot create an amazing future dragging your past into it. And there's a lot of people out there that they feel very justified in their anger, in their hurt, in their disappointment, their vindictiveness. But you have to ask yourself, what is that actually getting you? It's making you miserable. It's making you view the world miserable. And then that's all you end up ever seeing. That's not what the world is about. Are there those things out there? Yes, absolutely. And I have complete respect for people that have gone through hell and back in their life. But truly, we're all here to try to help us get to a better place. And all the brothers and the sisters out there, all the people of the world, there is something amazing for you that is waiting if you will just accept responsibility and be grateful and step into it. So, you know, like I said, you're going to be hearing a lot more from me on this soapbox about responsibility, because responsibility is the key that sets us free. So, BT, you were telling me that before we got into the studio this morning that we had a really cool question from one of the listeners out there in the Nagel Nation. What is that question?
Yeah, we sure did, David. One of our rabid listeners, Adam's out there. He sent us many questions. He's always giving us good insight on what he's taking in as he listens through the Successful Mind podcast over and over and over again. And he sent an excellent question that I know you wanted to touch on in this episode. And it was quite simply this. And it's around guidance and ethics. So it's, do we have an internal guidance to ethics, or are these beliefs all learned from our environment? Great question, Adam.
Yeah, that's a fantastic question. And it's interesting because it's something that's being debated very heavily today. I encourage everybody, if you want to really get into a really in-depth thinking around this. I watched a couple of debates that are online between Jordan Peterson and Sam Harris. And Sam is a devout atheist. And Jordan, his viewpoint on God is he acts like or behaves or lives as if God exists. And the reason that he says that, my understanding of it is that God means something different to everybody. So for him to say, I believe God exists, it's kind of like coming from this place of, well, what God are we talking about? And actually, that's a very intelligent answer. So he lives his life as if God exists, which I think is also a very intelligent answer and a very sound way of thinking. And the debate between them was, is there an ethic with outside of religion? Meaning that if we look at the doctrine of various different religions that's been around for thousands of years, they kind of establish an ethic for us to live based on. And would we actually have that ethic without the religious narrative? So Sam Harris says, yes, we would. And Jordan Peterson argues that he doesn't think that we would. Where would it come from? So here's what my opinion is on it, because I've thought about the same thing for a long time. I think that if we look at where do our values and our ethics come from, I think it's out of the hierarchy of the evolution of human beings itself. Because actually, if we look at other animals such as chimpanzees, gorillas, dolphins, whales, even various other animals that live in a group, live in a pack, so to speak. I don't know what the correct term is for every species, but you know what I mean, like a group of their own kind. We can examine and study the hierarchies in which they live. Now, human beings are the same way. We've evolved through various different hierarchies over time as we continue to evolve into what it is that we are. And the reason for this is if we go back to the animalistic nature of survival, it's really survival of the fittest. It is the strongest, the fastest, the smartest, the ability to protect the most passes on that great gene to its offspring. So animals are always competing for mating rights, and there's a great argument that has been presented many times. The human beings kind of do the same thing, just in a little bit of a different way. But the idea where the ethic would come from would be that we would understand that certain behaviors lead to the expansion of human society. And we, just through trial and error, through learning over a period of time, and that certain behaviors do not. So it's kind of like, where does that thought, that original thought, come from? And it's probably from the idea of survival. My best educated guess on that is that's exactly where ethic comes out of. It is born out of the idea of survival. And then over thousands of years, the evaluation of what perpetuates survival and what does not. And through really intelligent people who had the courage to break through, kind of a dictatorial way of living and saying, no, you know what, if we continue down a road where, just the best people are the only ones that get anything, we really remove the collective intelligence of everybody coming together. It allows society to grow and benefit from the same type of belief and ethic, which is a very interesting thing, because a lot of the problems that we have on a global basis right now are because different societies have different ethics, and a lot of it is based on different religions and the interpretation of those religions. So if one person interprets a religious text, I'm not going to name any in particular, there's enough out there where you could do the research yourself, you'll find that all religious texts have information in them that can be very extreme and call for the death of something or someone if they do something outside of an ethic. My opinion is that those are really metaphorical writings in the sense that it's not very much different from what we teach in my industry, which is that if you have a thought that is not moving you forward in life but is actually causing you to move backward or go into the self-destruction behavior or thinking or whatever it might be, then you have to banish that thought from your life. You have to get rid of it, no longer process that thought in your mind, but understand that you need to sacrifice that for a higher thought. And I think that that's what people were trying to communicate, you know, thousands of years ago, that they were learning as time went on, that really the idea is that anything in your life that is actually holding you back from more life really needs to go. It needs to be considered, it needs to be evaluated, and then it needs to go. So the natural principle of life is that there is an intelligence behind it that we call more life, that is moving all life forward. So the interesting thing about life is that there really is, in truth, there's no beginning or no end. Energy just is. There is no beginning and no end. It's constantly transmuting itself from one stage to another. You know, if we look at, something like a tree in many parts of the world, in the springtime, it blooms, its leaves turn green, it flowers, whatever it does. It goes through that period. In the fall, it starts to go into its dormant stage, the leaves fall off. They return to the earth. They through the natural process of decay, now become food for the soil, which enriches the tree and all the other plants around it. So that's a simplistic cycle of life, but that's the way it works, with everything. The question with human beings that is been debated for thousands of years is, is there a life for human beings before we came into this body, and will there be one after we leave this body? The truth is that nobody knows for certain, but if you live as if you're a soul living in a body and you came into your body, in other words, your soul existed before you were conceived to be born, and that after your body dies and re- returns to the earth, your soul will continue to go on to its next journey. The one real benefit to that belief is that you can be an empowered human being. You're not being born into a random life. It's an idea that lends to more purpose in life. It's an idea that says that we're not victims, but we're coming into life with the idea and the lessons to be learned for us to continue to evolve, to be better and, you know, more enlightened, so to speak. You know, and really the word enlightenment, the way that it's used today is really almost criminal. It really means consciousness. It really means to be in the light, which means the ability to consciously think correctly based on truth. It is used very much in a very incorrect way. There's a lot of people on the planet that are enlightened, that consciously understand the truth, and that they can think by truth, and they can live according to that truth. The other thing that I think that is really important about this is that because life is always moving forward, we can see that. We can see that with everything. We can see the cycles that have, you know, the rhythms of nature itself. We also have the ability to choose. So if we come from the place of saying, my birth is a very random act, based on numbers, based on mathematics, I did not exist before this, and I will not exist after this, that really limits the viewpoint that you come from within the world, because it makes everything basically random. So I think that thought actually induces the idea of victimization instead of empowerment. So it's really something to consider, because here's what the outcome, like, I look at it and be like, okay, I could sit here and listen to the arguments all day long that life didn't exist before we were born and it won't exist after, and that we are random, and that we are born basically a victim because we don't get to choose the life that we're actually born into. And it's kind of like, okay, so being that that's a belief, and we could choose to believe that or not, if we believe that, does that actually make our life better? Or does that continue, does that kind of give us the excuse to look at ourselves as a victim all through our life? Conversely, if we say to ourselves, there's a very good possibility that I existed before this body and then I'll exist after this body, that would mean that our power to choose came with our soul or our spirit or our energy, whatever it is that you want to call it, and it played some role in what it is that we're actually experiencing in life so that we can learn from it and continue to grow. And I know that causes a lot of problems with some people, because they get really indignant about the idea that I did not choose the hellhole that I was born into. And you know what? I don't know that you did or you didn't either. But I would rather come from the place of saying, you know, it's possible that I did choose this. And in choosing that, the reason that I chose it was so that I could learn something to benefit my life and benefit society, because I have the power to choose and change that. So, you know, if you come from the place of being a victim, how do you get out of that if victimization is actually a reality? That means that we're all potential victims in our life. I don't believe that that's true. And I think that even though there's something that can victimize us in the world, it doesn't mean that we have to accept the idea that we're a victim. We can accept the idea that we're empowered and move forward from that direction. So I think the simple answer, Brandon, is that the ethic, the first ethic is the ethic of more life, and then that builds down into a hierarchy of other ethics and values that we consistently learn about and follow in our life to maintain a great life and to move humanity forward. So that's a great question from a listener. Thank you.
Yeah, it sure was. Anything to close out? Any last words you want to give the listeners?
Accept responsibility. Be responsible. That is the thing. If you accept responsibility, that's how you find your happiness. If you're having trouble finding happiness in your life, ask yourself how responsible are you for your own life? How much responsibility do you actually take on for your own life? I guarantee you, if you're not happy, you're blaming something in your life. Period. Thanks for listening to the Successful Mind Podcast. And if you like what you heard and you want to know more, go to davidnagel.com/freestuff.